speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We're thankful that in the Bible we not only have commandments that are given, but also in the Bible we have examples showing us how these commands are to be applied. All throughout the book of Acts, we have various cases of conversion that's presented. And perhaps one of the least known is that of Lydia and her household. And we want to look back this afternoon to the background and conversion of this woman named Lydia. May open your Bible, if you will, to Acts 16 and study with us. Acts 16, verse 6, 7, and 8. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. For some reason the Holy Spirit forbade that Paul and his company should go to the right hand or to the left. So they went forward until they came to Troas, and they stopped at this city by the Aegean Sea. Paul had in mind one thing, the Holy Spirit had something else in mind. Paul was going to evangelize a province, the Holy Spirit had in mind an entire continent, perhaps. But there was an open door in Troas, and there was an open opportunity. Acts 16, verse 9 and 10, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Now instructions are given to Paul on where he was to go next by means of a vision. He saw a man of Macedonia, and the man was saying, "Come over and help us." When Paul told his company what he had seen, their conclusion was, "Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." Now the Lord is doing for Lydia and others what he had done previously for, say, the eunuch in Acts 8, had sent Philip to preach to him, and preaching unto him Jesus, the man was obedient. Or in Acts 10, Cornelius was a just man, a God-fearing man, and the Lord sent Peter to preach to Cornelius, that led to he and his family being converted. In John 7, verse 17, John says, "If any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." John records the words of Christ. "And God saw the honesty of a woman named Lydia, other women, the jailer." And we sometimes sing, "There's a call comes ringing over the restless wave, send the light." And the Lord is going to send the light to this woman named Lydia. There was an open door, there was an open opportunity, and there was an open ship. Acts 16, verse 11 and 12. "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." Well, now that Paul and his company know where they're going, how are they going to get there? No doubt there would be ships going to Athens, to Corinth, Ephesus, but would there be one going to Macedonia? Not only was there one going, but it was going to get there in record time. It took them 5 days to retrace these steps when we study that down in Acts 20. Verse 6 says of Acts 20, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. It may have been that the waters were rough." And then Paul takes advantage of the opportunity, though, because he had seen in a vision a man saying, "Come over and help us." Verse 13 of Acts 16, And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Well, where were the men of the city? She could have reasoned, well, there are no men here, so we'll just forget about worship today. Lydia was some 300 miles away from home. She could have done like many and said, well, now that no one will know me, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to worship. I'm out of town. I'm on vacation. God's back at home. But a true Christian is one on location regardless of the circumstance. That means that no matter what the location, one is still a Christian. Lydia was a businesswoman, but on the Sabbath, she closed down her work to remember God who had created her. And thus, Lydia was a great influence to those of her household. Verse 14 and 15, Acts 16. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She was a seller of purple. Purple dye was for the most costly of clothing of the day. The finest of linens were dyed purple. It was a sign of royalty, royal robes, and people were arrayed in purple and fine linen, indicating that they were rather rich. And probably her business would have required much capital. She was either a Jewish or a proselyte. We don't know which one, and it really doesn't matter, but what does matter is that she was a God-fearing woman, and she worshipped God. And the Bible informs us that the Lord opened her heart. William McGarvey asked a man what this statement meant. He replied that Lydia was totally depraved and could not understand anything spiritually until God opened her heart. Brother McGarvey's response was, you do not know much about this woman. For she was observing the Sabbath, she was worshiping God before she had her heart open. And how could a totally depraved woman do this? Many believe still that it takes a direct operation of the Holy Spirit to open the heart of an individual before they can be converted. Notice, she heard Paul before her heart was open. She was already worshiping God before her heart was open. She was observing the Sabbath day. But Acts 26, verse 16 and 18, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Well, that's what the Lord said Paul's calling was all about. Now, what's the difference between opening eyes and opening hearts? And how did God open her heart? She knew only the teachings of Moses. Paul taught her about Jesus and about the kingdom so that her eyes and her heart could be opened to New Testament Christianity. In Matthew 13, verse 15, our Lord said, for this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. The eunuch, Cornelius, Saul, Lydia, all needed to have their eyes and their hearts opened. The same was true of Apollos, the same is true of me, of you, of all that would turn to the Lord. And the Bible tells us that she attended unto the things that were spoken unto her. like those on the day of Pentecost. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2, verse 41. Or the same is true, Acts 10, verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, Cornelius says, that thou hast well done, that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Or the Ethiopian, Acts 8, 36, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, the Bible tells us that Lydia was baptized. Baptism will save no one unless they do it from the heart. But from the heart it will save, the like figure wherein even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we know what this woman Lydia had to do. She had to hear the word, because faith comes by hearing. She had to believe, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. She had to repent, for Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. She had to confess, for with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And she had to be baptized, for Christ said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And the Bible tells us that she was baptized and her household. Many use this statement to try to prove infant baptism, but that's not one word said about an infant being in our household. And how could an infant believe? How could an infant repent? How could an infant turn away from sin when there's no sin in the innocent little infant? Here's a command, and here's an example of how that command is to be obeyed. And may God help us to be responsive to His Word and be obedient to His will.